Well, it's good to see you. We thank the Lord for you. We get back into our study of the Master Life. We're doing the week study, and I'm using the memory verses to preach on. And as we are looking at the disciples' cross, that which involves our life, our work, our ministry, we focused on fellowship today. You notice on the front of the bulletin is the disciple cross as well as the one that's on the screens. You understand that we have been involved in this, and now we're looking at that right part of the cross, which is fellowship. That's an important ingredient. You know, if you're going to be a disciple, you can't do it alone. That's the reality. When Jesus preached and he called his disciples, he told them to go and make disciples. You can't do it alone. You have to do it with others. Now, our generation, especially coming out of COVID, our generation began destructing their faith. And an important part of that is the fellowship, not being with other believers. You know, I can worship just as well on my couch. I can worship just as well on a dock fishing, or I can worship just as well in a deer stand hunting, or you go down the list of all the things that we do and can do on Sunday morning. The implication is that as a believer, we can worship while we're doing those things. But Jesus was very clear that his worship of him is going to involve others. And the early church set that principle in motion and continued to demonstrate that even in the lives of so many today. While we're not facing persecution, we may be called out, embarrassed, or bullied because of our Christian faith. There are others in other parts of the world that are dying because of their faith. And in order to face that, they have to have other believers to encourage, and support them during that time. So let's look at the fellowship of the believers. Our verse is John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "I give you a new commandment. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Father, we ask you now to speak to our hearts and give us the concept of what Jesus was talking about loving one another. And help us understand that's foundational to our fellowship. That's foundational to us working together to reach our community, our world, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we seek you now to let us see and understand Jesus' words. Do whatever is necessary now to help us focus upon you and our love for one another. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name, amen. You know, our culture talks about love, talks a lot about love. That's very important in our culture today. Pardon me, I got a cough drop trying to help me here. In 1965, Jackie DeShannon released what became a very popular song entitled, "What the World Needs Now is Love." You remember that? That chorus of that very popular song stated, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love, the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love. Sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone." Now, Jackie was a one-hit star. And there was also that idea, and in carrying out through the 60s, there was that thought of calling and the abusive language of the love child, the love children, you know, the generation of love. And you remember what was mixed into that. It was during that time that young people going up mountains and developing communes. It was slipping off into the meadows and growing plants that meant to help them escape the hostility and the painful environment of that day, that which would alter their thinking and their thoughts and their experiences. You see, they sought love that was free and readily available. They wanted to know and experience love as a part of that. And of course, they, as most of we were a part of that generation and what was going on. Well, Jesus showed the disciples love. I think it's very important that we realize the night before his crucifixion, when he was in the upper room celebrating the Passover with his disciples, as they all came in from walking and doing the things that they were doing, when they all came in, nobody stopped to perform the great hospitality of the Jewish mind and family. That is washing the people's feet. So Jesus, after they were all at the table, went over, took out his outer garment, wrapped around him what we would call a towel, and took the basin of water and started washing every one of the disciples' feet. He showed himself as a humble servant in that very important hour. He was trying to help them understand what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, what was going to be the follow-up of it, and how they were going to have to live with what was going on. And so as he moved to show the full extent of his love, Jesus showed his disciples love, washing their feet. He had a servant heart. He was serving them, and he prepared them for his death. He served them. He called them to do the same thing, to be like their master. Now, during that very intense and personal time, Jesus was focusing what their lives were going to be like, how they were going to need each other, how they were going to have to support each other. Then he gave them that new command, love one another just as I've loved you. They had spent 3 years walking with him, and every step of the way, Jesus showed, expressed love. And he did a good job pointing out that this king did not have anything. And the things that he did were things that were given to him, and he blessed and dealt with. And he shared and he blessed those that encountered with them. He said, love one another just as I've loved you. He had invested 3 years with them, demonstrating what he expected of them as they began to make more disciples. Now understand, the foundation of true fellowship is love. Not just sitting and eating, but there is a deeper love. The foundation of true Christian fellowship is not shared interests. It's not being like each other. It's not having a shared background, but it's shared Savior, the one whose love flows through us. He loves the community. He loves our fellowship with us, through us, and a part of us. Our great example in the Bible is the early church in Jerusalem. Luke gave us the testimony about that church found in Acts 4, 32 and 35. Everybody was in problems. There was all kind of things going on. The entire group and those who believed were of one heart, one mind. No one claimed any of his own possessions were his own. But instead, they held everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was all over them. For there was not a needy person among them, because all those who had owned land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds that were sold. And they laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed to every person as they had need. Everything that they had, they shared with others. They blessed others. They cared for others. You see, the disciples grow through relationships. That's how we grow. The disciples cross in weeks 4. We learn that the disciples grow spiritually through the relationship. Look at the cross on the front of your bulletin. You will notice that in the center of the cross is Christ. Christ has to be the center of everything. And then the bottom of the cross is the Word. That's the Bible. We talked about knowing and studying and learning the Bible so we can hear from God. The top of the cross is prayer. That's where we talk to the Lord. We talk to God. So with Christ as the center, us studying the Bible and us talking to God, then it flows out the side on the right in fellowship. That fellowship is so important. That's the relationship within the Christ bodies. You cannot grow alone. God designs us to grow together in fellowship, in accountability, in service, and in love. As you look at the disciples' cross, you understand the horizontal being means relationships with others. The love for one another that completes the cross of the discipleship, and it demonstrates Christ's life flowing through us. He is in us. We're focused in prayer and Bible study, and it flows out into the lives of other people. We have to have each other. Notice that he said the commandment to love one another. True disciples of Jesus reflect his love through the relationship with other believers. Love is the visible mark of discipleship. It is the lifeblood for the body of Christ. That's how we function, through loving and caring for one another. It is a command, not a suggestion. I give you a new commandment, love one another. Jesus didn't say, I suggest you love one another. If it were a suggestion, we could take it or leave it. In that command that Jesus gave us, it gives direct responsibility to the disciples. This is the policy. This is the rule. This is the requirement of every follower of Jesus is expected to follow, to adhere to obey, no matter the cost. No matter the cost. You see, obedience to Christ always includes loving the brethren. Again, in 1 John 4:19-21, if anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And we have this command from him, that one who loves God must also love his brother or sister. That command is foundational to who we are. Now, it's a new kind of love, too. It's a Christ-like love. There's a new standard. We can't use each other and say, I love like so-and-so. No. Our standard has to be, I love like Jesus. Jesus said, as I love you, love others. There's a new scope there, extending to all believers, not just those like us, not just those near us, not just those that are a part of our family. We are to love everyone. There's a new source there also. Flowing from this new command is Christ's blood. His blood cleanses. His blood empowers. His blood is sacrificed for us as a demonstration of how we are to love. Loving others in the church isn't about compatibility. It's about obedience to Jesus. When we choose to love, we live the life that Christ is in us, and other people can see us. Notice Christ's example of love. Just as I loved you, he said, you are to love one another. His love was sacrificial. His love was sacrificial. He washed the disciples' feet moments before speaking to these words to them. His love was humble. His love was practical. His love was unconditional. You remember he got to Peter and Peter said, oh no, you're not washing my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, then you have nothing to do with me. And then he said, Lord, wash every part of me. Jesus said, if you took a bath and you were clean, only your feet's dirty. That's what you need. And I'm going to provide for what you need, as he washed his feet. Ultimately, Jesus showed his love on the cross. Think about that. Hanging on the cross, every word that he spoke from the cross was an expression of love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You go on and on listening to him as he comes from the cross with the words and the message expressing love. Ultimately, he showed that love on the cross. John 15:13, this is a new command. Love one another as I've loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down their life for their friends. You see, his kind of love means I'm willing to die for someone else. We watch all these horrible things that are happening now in our culture, the violence, the meanness, and we're seeing people step into those things to provide help and support and recapturing people out of that environment, taking care of them. You hear stories over and over how people have demonstrated concern, compassion, and service for others in those events. Jesus said his love was to be patient and forgiving. Love requires action, not just affection. That's the problem with our culture. We want affection. If you love me, you're going to do what I say. If you love me, you're going to do what I want you to do. If you love me, and we put these stipulations on what love is to look like. Jesus said, little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and truth. Love is demonstrated. Love is factual when it's demonstrated. It's not just something we say. Love expresses forgiveness, service, and bearing one another's burdens. In Galatians 6:2, he told us, Paul did. Love also builds community. You see, the church is a body. That's the description Paul gave us. We are many parts of one body. Just like our bodies have many parts and they have different functions, different accountability, what's going on. We're struggling with the reality of health today because our body's not functioning like it should. Now, if you apply that to the church, when we don't function as we should, the church is not healthy. And that's what we're called to do, to be the body of Christ. We bring all the parts together. When one part hurts, all the body hurts. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:24, instead, God has put together a body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. One member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You see, we are functioning together. We are part of it. We love one another the way Jesus loved me. He's patient with me. He has to be, because he'd strike me with lightning any day of the week if I'm not careful in coming in repentance. He forgives me. Every time I come to him, confess that sin, and ask forgiveness, he still forgives me. He sacrifices for me. He takes care of what I can't take care of or where I fail. He does things over and over again. I've seen that. You see, as we love Jesus and we love like Jesus, Jesus works through us. Then you have to realize the witness of our love. John said, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Oh, John quoted Jesus often. And as he quoted him there in 13:35, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, I would love for them to be known as the disciple of Jesus for so many other things. But the reality is I don't have much that is able to be known that way. I have to do what Jesus said, and that is to love people, to love my fellow believers, to love lost people, love people separated. You see, the love is the mark of a disciple. It's the mark of discipleship. Not our buildings, not our programs, not the preaching, not the music, not the parties, not the kind of Bible we use, not even what we give. Love shows who we belong to. That's the bottom line. When we love like Jesus, people are going to see Jesus in us. And that's what we need to do. How we react to care for other church members tell about who we are and whose we are. You see, if we act like everyone else in the community, then they really don't like them. We're not much different than the community is. And we have to be different. We have to stand out. We know When we know Jesus and experience his love, he makes a difference in us. When we've heard his command to love one another, we will do whatever is necessary to show his kind of love to other people, especially those that are a part of our church. We will demonstrate it. I hear it all the time visiting with people, hearing what your love for them has done. Whether it's been a meal, whether it's been a prayer, whether it's been a card, whether it's been a phone call, whether it's been a text, whether it's been a visit, whatever it is, they understand you have something in you that compels you to demonstrate love like Jesus did. But love draws the lost too. Love is evangelistic. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all believers were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed their proceeds to all that had any need. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple. They broke bread house to house, and they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all people, and every day the Lord added to the numbers those that are being saved. You see, as I work in your denominational headquarters known as the North American Mission Board, I saw volunteers all over the world demonstrating this kind of love. And over and over and over again, every one of them had the question, why do you do this? How do you do this? They wanted an explanation. Of course, there were some, like some of the other organizations said, you know, I had a problem one time and somebody helped me. But most of them would stop and say, Jesus has made a difference in my life. Jesus has loved me. Jesus has forgiven me. Jesus has called me to share his love, and that's why I'm here. That's what I'm doing this. You're seeing it happen all over the world, even still today, where people are demonstrating God's love, and people are coming to faith in Christ. I told y'all before, on average, world changers, our chaplains, and disaster relief, when they did a presentation of the gospel, 10 times they would get one profession of faith. It had grown in other places to where in disaster, if it was done 7 times, there was a profession of faith. Now, granted, most of the local churches did not go back out and cultivate those new believers because they weren't like us. And so those people are not involved typically in churches today. I mean, I was so bad off. In one community, I offered and said, why don't you go to the Lutheran churches then? The Baptist churches don't want you. Go to another one. Find somewhere where you can worship and serve God. And the Lord added to the church every day. You know, as we review the history of Pinecrest Baptist Church, even as JoJo shared some of that last Sunday, and you know the history, you see over and over again, this is why this church began. Larry Reed told me the story that there was a conflict developed in another church because too many new people were coming and they didn't like that. And the preacher was told to stop getting new people. And a group of people said, that's not right. And they came out and they started a new church. And that new church began to reach this community and share the gospel. And over the years exploded with growth, demonstrating what Christ did when he loved the lost and dying world. They love people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like that early church, this love grew Pinecrest Baptist Church into a community influence. The lost world longs to see the authentic community where there is grace and truth and love meet together and expresses who Jesus is to us and how he loves us. That will be how we'll make a difference today in the life and revitalize Pinecrest Baptist Church if we go back and capture that kind of relationship with Jesus. You see, our world is starving for authentic love. When true believers love one another, the world sees the reality of the gospel. That's playing out now in the younger generations. As a result of the horrible assassination of a believer, irregardless of the political ramifications of that, there are people today that want to know that Jesus. They want to love that Jesus, and his organization is starting new groups all over the world to share the gospel of Jesus. I hope we understand that, and that that kind of group doesn't start in our area and usurp our position in relationship with the Lord Jesus to give testimony and witness of our faith in Christ and the love that he's extended to us. We have to help each other. The challenge from John still rings true today. Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and truth. Hebrews tells us in 10, 23, and 25, and then let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting gathering together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you will see that day approaching. You see, we have to provocation to each other to love, to share, to minister. I've told y'all about being in a northern state, a Midwestern northern state, where we had won 76 people to the Lord in the 4 or 5 weeks we served in that flood. And I went back to visit with the pastor, and as I sat with him, he said, "When will it happen?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "The great influx of all these new believers." And I said, "Dan, you have to go to them. They're not going to come to you. You have to understand, if you win someone to faith in Christ, you are responsible to disciple them, to move them forward. And these people have been won. If you don't go, it's like a woman having a baby on the sidewalk and walking off and leaving it. Children do not grow unless they are with people that take care of them and love them and provide them. New believers need people to care for them. We've observed through the years, it is that kind of loving church that becomes a growing church. When they love the community and they love each other, people want to be a part of it. That's important for us today. You see, Jesus gave one distinctive badge of discipleship. It's not the baptism. It's not our confession of faith. It's not a Bible we carry. It's not things. It is the fact that we, through love, grow together. We begin and we work so we grow in size and participation. Through love, the world sees Jesus in us. Through love, we build the kind of fellowship that transforms our lives and the lives of others as well. Love one another. So what do we say? Today we have to examine our relationships. Are we a broken? Do we have broken relationships in the body that needs healing? Is there someone we need to forgive or someone we need to ask to forgive us? Do we need to restore relationships? Do we need to engage in fellowship in the small group of Sunday school or a ministry team or a committee of some kind? Do we need to serve together better to be known as followers of Christ? You see, growth happens in a community, not by itself. It happens in a community. A baby grows not on its own, but in the care that others provide it. You see, we need to express Jesus' love daily. Look for opportunities to love someone, to practice love this week, through encouragement, through help, through prayer, through some kind of ministry. Those simple things that we do, I hear people talk about how much it meant to them. that a brother or sister cared about them. That's how we express the love of Jesus. Now, for some, that means we need to embrace Jesus today. And that's when we go back to the ABCD. We need to admit that Jesus, we need to admit that we are sinners, that we have sinned against God. We need to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. We need to confess Him as our Lord and Savior. And then we dedicate ourselves to discipleship, to learning about Him, and to loving like He loved. That's how we can revitalize Pinecrest Baptist Church. And that's what the discipleship, the Master Life class, learned this week as we studied the ministry of fellowship. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that as we come into Your presence, we can be mindful of what Jesus taught and how important it is that our lives demonstrate His kind of love and fellowship and care and support for one another. Father, do it again. Do it again in our lives. Do it again in the life of Pinecrest Baptist Church. Do it again in our community through Pinecrest Baptist Church. Speak now and help us grow in fellowship by demonstrating love for those that we encounter. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.